This is Ashley Hodge with the post-game Sikkim 365 podcast, joined by Willie Molina. Hey, Willie, good to have you on the podcast. I wish we were talking about better result. Baylor loses to Iowa State 76-62 in the Big 12 semifinals. Now they get ready for the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk mostly about that. But we do want to recap the game a little bit. Frustrating game. They end up with only 13 turnovers. I thought they had to have 12 or less to win. Much better than Waco. They had 18 in Waco, but a lot of key turnovers at key times. And then the big thing was just the 3-point shooting just wasn't there. They took open shots and just missed them. Walter 1-for-5, Dennis 0-for-6, Nunn 0-for-3. Those are guys that normally knock down a high percentage of shots. And if you make 10 out of 24, as we were talking about before the podcast, instead of 5-for-24, then you give yourself a shot. But tonight they didn't do that, and then they weren't really good from the free throw line as well. What were your takeaways, Willie? What'd you see?
Man, yeah, and just real quick before I forget, in ADD, it's not like the 10-for-24 is just us being silly. I mean, there's literally 5 or 6 who are just wide open. Man, grateful to be on here. Obviously, would love to have done it after a huge win and go in to try to beat Houston for our first ever tournament title, but that is just not the case. It wasn't in the cards. Man, my takeaways, the thing I said going in was, play with fire and get to the rack. And yeah, on some of those wide open missed threes, I don't regret taking the three, but I just would have loved to see Nunn or Walter just force the issue and get inside. It seems like sometimes when we force the issue, for instance, Missy just getting too far into the basket there at the end. It's just, I would have loved to have seen us play with an absolute fire. We were a half step too slow on a lot of moments, and there was a moment there, I think it was the first half, where Jalen all of a sudden catches, I think he hits his first three. We cut it back to 8. And then we're a half step too slow. They hit a 3 to make it turn it back to 11. I think that was before, or a couple plays after the Nunn flagrant. I feel like we were steps slow, and their defense was just smothered us, just absolutely smothered us.
Yeah, they made us uncomfortable on offense. We only had 14 assists, 13 turnovers. We let them do whatever they wanted. We didn't really pressure the ball that well. They have 17 assists, 6 turnovers. So I thought that was a difference. Rebounding, you got to admire what we did on the glass, 42-28. They're a good rebounding team, so you'll take that all day long. Ray J had a rough offensive night scoring wise, but he did dish out 11 assists, so he had over two to one assist to turnover ratio. Like you said, Eve, you look at the guys that played well. Certainly Caleb Lohner, again, off the bench. Tremendous. 12 points, 6 rebounds, brought the energy, brought the toughness. Missy had a pretty good game. He had 14 and 11. And then Bridges, 20 and 12. Outside of those three performances, we really got duds from most of the team tonight. So, just need better and more consistency. And, this is a time of year where, unfortunately, it's win and go home, and hopefully you learn this lesson now instead of the NCAA tournament. And I'm hopeful that you get a little tighter whistle in the NCAA tournament too, because I think the Big 12 conference is too physical, and I wonder how teams like Iowa State and Houston will do in the big dance, because sometimes they call it tighter in the NCAA tournament, and these are teams that really rely on defensive suffocating pressure to really turn teams over.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to – that's a good point. I don't think we're going to see – I mean, how many defenses in the country that we could actually see until the Elite Eight? I mean, you got UConn, Virginia, not nearly as physical and athletic as I was. St. Mary's.
Virginia just got beat. They may not make the tournament. I mean, they were up like 5 or 6, and they went to overtime. Yeah, they went to overtime. Just
wow.
Got beat.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. A 4 seed in the – how funny is that?
Right.
But outside of UConn and then Houston and Iowa State, is there a defense that even remotely like these guys?
Tennessee, Auburn. Tennessee. I mean, but we've already played. We beat Auburn. We beat Iowa State. We almost beat Houston. We're capable. Yeah. We're capable of beating these teams. But tonight wasn't our best performance. But you know, as we talked about, you just missed open shots. I mean, you got 24 threes. A lot of them were really open. We did a good job, pretty good job moving the ball. Didn't finish as well in the paint as you would like, but you know, I mean, I'm okay with the shot selection. I just, you know, it's a make or miss league, as Van Gundy used to always say. And unfortunately tonight, we just missed a lot of shots, and we certainly did nothing to Iowa State to make them really uncomfortable on offense.
Right. Yeah, I missed a bunch of easies. And I believe we missed some easies, a lot of easies against Cincinnati.
Yeah, we did. I mean, Cincinnati just isn't near as good of an offensive team. I mean, you know, this was a road game. this was a true road game. I mean, and that's all right. So I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant about Kansas City. I'm very disappointed that the Big 12 decided to extend in Kansas City through 2031. I think it's ridiculous. Other conferences move their conference tournament around. It is such a bone to Kansas, Kansas State, and Iowa State. And this whole narrative of, you know, Fran Fraschilla is one of the worst at, you know, regurgitating this. Well, it's got to be in Kansas City. You know, Dallas doesn't support it. You know, Oklahoma City doesn't support it. When it was in Dallas the last time, I think like around 2000, 2001, I can't remember exactly when it was, maybe a couple of years before that, 99 or something like that. I mean, that whole Victory Park area wasn't built out. I just went to a Mavs game the other day. There's so many restaurants, so much to do around the American Airlines Arena now, tons of hotels down there. It's just like, you know, Power and Light in Kansas City. This was the first year in 10 years I didn't go. I'm just tired of it. Like, and it's, you know, Baylor's good, Tech is good, TCU's good, Houston's good. I guarantee you the crowds would come to Dallas just like they go to Kansas City. There's like 400,000 LDS in Texas. You know, BYU's gonna support it in Dallas. I mean, I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's such.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
like
a huge commitment.
It's been there since 2010, I think. I think 2009 in Oklahoma City was the last year. So you're giving Kansas City 21-year run. I mean, I don't know. I know. I would imagine the Baylor coaches probably feel the same way. It's just such a unfair advantage. Like if you get Iowa State, Kansas State, or Kansas in your bracket, good luck. You know, I mean, especially when they're good. I mean, it's because it's worth an extra 5 or 7 points. You know, to have a true home game for those guys.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think at a neutral site, it even amplifies the feel when you're in a quote unquote neutral site and you've got, you know, that many people in that arena.
Right.
I was at that, was it 2009 Missouri where we had to win it to go to the tournament?
Yeah. In Oklahoma City. Right.
Oh man. Yeah. Perry Jones. Right. I was at that Missouri. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I was there too.
One thing I don't want to forget though, and I know that, I mean, we might even go back on it, but Caleb, and we talked about it, but if we could have, I don't expect 12-6-1 and no turnovers. I don't expect to hit 3. But, man, now teams from just that game, they've got to respect that. That's a huge positive. But if we could have just gotten – throughout the year, you know, half of that production, 40% of that production, I don't think we have a 10-loss. You know, I don't think we're ranked 14 and have 10 losses. I think we're closer to that 7-8 range, and we might have got 7 or 8 loss. I mean, there's a couple of games where we really needed some meat, some muscle. And, man, he's playing sound. He had a game like that last year in the tournament. What was it, Creighton or
UC Santa Barbara? He played really
well.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And that slip, dude. That Josh to Caleb, when Caleb, I went to the back door. He cut on the way, and Josh threw it to him. I literally was just like, "Oh, whoa, man! That gimme!" And Josh has stepped up. And one thing to say, Walter, that I don't want to forget about is, you know, there was a point where he was really having a. When he was struggling, you know, midseason, he just hit that huge dip. And I saw that look in his eyes defensively and his body language. He was selling out in the defensive end, still making some, you know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old mistakes.
Right.
But he was selling out. I saw that today. I've seen that lately. I've seen him body up. I'm seeing him get passionate, almost too argumentative with the refs. And he's not That's one thing I do love about Baylor is we're a little bit better than most teams, but man, he's just got that. He got that dog, as everybody's saying. I'm loving it. It's a little almost too much, but I'm loving it, especially Hambone, that dog.
Well, yeah, no, I think, you know, Nunn and Walter, you know, they give you great effort, and you know they're not going to repeat these performances again. I mean, these were duds for those guys, and I know they'll be in the gym a lot, you know, trying to work on everything, you know, to try to never repeat this going forward. And you're running out of time. I mean, all right, so let's talk. I mean, you know, clearly Baylor looks like they're going to be a 3 seed. It's kind of mass chaos all over college basketball right now. You know, you got tons of upsets in these conference tournaments. Really only the Big 12 seems like the only one that's gone chalk. I think the SEC, all the top 4 or 5 seeds got eliminated, yep, you know, from that tournament. And then Arizona gets beat, you know, by Oregon, and they're gone. And, yep, you know, Connecticut, you know, they're probably going to, you know, go through the Big East. But, you know, Purdue is, you know, won today in a close one. But you know, overall, I mean, it's, you got, you know, a lot of the teams that you were thinking might be in competition with Baylor for a 2 seed, they all get knocked off, and so does Baylor. So Baylor's probably on the 3 line. So, you know, the places they can go, it's going to be, they're going to go to either Barclays in Brooklyn, Charlotte, North Carolina, Indianapolis, Omaha, Pittsburgh, Salt Lake City, Spokane, or Memphis. From a proximity standpoint, you would think Memphis.
Yeah.
And then the regionals are Boston, Dallas, Detroit, and Los Angeles. And unfortunately, Houston's going to get Dallas. So, you know, they're not going to send Baylor to that same, you know, regional, right, path. You're probably going to, you know, not be in the South regional with Houston. So you're going to be in one of those other areas that's far away from your fan base. But, you know, I mean, ideally, of all those regional sites, where would you prefer? Like, would you want Memphis if you were Baylor? Because it's the closest one to –
I think we could actually represent a little bit in Memphis. Golly, beyond that, though, I mean, there is no – what is it, Detroit? I mean, it's not even – yikes. But, yeah, I guess Memphis or, I guess, Omaha, right?
Yeah. I mean, those would be probably – you know, Salt Lake City is easy to get to from a, you know, flight standpoint. You know, obviously, sure, Brooklyn is super easy, and Charlotte also. But you know, I think it'll be interesting to see where they send Baylor. I was thinking about this today, is that they get sent to Salt Lake City. I have no idea if they will, but then they play like they're a 3 seed, and then the 6th seed is Utah State. You know, I mean, it would be kind of the reverse of what happened to Creighton when they were the 3 seed, and we were the 6, and then they go to San Antonio and play in front of like a overwhelmingly pro Baylor crowd in San Antonio. That's my fear, is that, you know, whatever, wherever we get sent, that we're far enough away from home that we have a situation where we end up having to play a lower seeded team that maybe has their fan base, you know, in full force against us.
My geography is not great, but wouldn't Nevada also probably travel really well?
Yeah, Nevada. Like, there, yeah, that's the thing. The Mountain West has maybe 5 teams that would get in. And, like, if you do get sent, if you're the 3 seed, but the problem is none of them are going to be, like, 3 seeds. You know, they're all, like, going to be 5 or lower. Yeah. So then you're talking, you know, there's some danger there of if whoever the 3 seed is in Salt Lake City, you know, there's some danger that you might have to end up playing a 6 that's, you know, more local. But anyway, just, we'll see Sunday. I mean, we're 2 days away from knowing for sure. But, you know, those are some scenarios that are going through my mind.
That's one of the things, though, and I told my oldest son, Frankie, he's becoming a hoop junkie, too. I told him, I said, look, that's the positive of getting punched in the mouth by a great team with a super tough defense and what is absolutely an away game. You're going to see that, if not the first round, the second round, because, you know, every person that is repping, you know, like the for instance, the Houston or in Dallas, but you're that those fans, they want to see, everybody sees the upset. Any neutral fan wants to see the upset, and then obviously a higher seeded team that is watching the game, they're all against you. Yeah. So we just had to experience that in real time and reset, like a real psychological reset. You know, Walter, who's 18, 19. How old is he?
He may be 19.
He's young.
He's young. Yeah.
But right there, I mean, you're tasting it. And if we're going to taste that until 2031, unfortunately, that's always going to be that. We're going to feel it right there at the moment when you're about to go right into, you know, the greatest sporting event in the history of mankind.
Yeah. I didn't touch on this on the last podcast, but if you want to give your opinion, I'm curious to hear it. I do think, you know, the Drew to Louisville rumors, I know nothing. Like, I haven't had any conversations with Scott Drew or even anyone close to him about this. I talk to him off season way more than I talk to him during the season. I don't really like to bother him during the season. It's a grind for those guys. But I don't like that it's came out right before the NCAA tournament. I think it can be a distraction. I think it's, you know, generated by his agent, and I think it's, you know, if I'm Scott, I can understand, you know, where he might be. Like, hey, I'm having to fundraise for my NIL. NIL's in a really good spot at Baylor, but, you know, he's having to do a lot of fundraising for it. You're playing games in places like Detroit, neutral games, you know, I mean, obviously not neutral, against Michigan State. You're going to Brooklyn, I mean, not Brooklyn, Madison Square Garden, playing a quote, neutral game against Duke. I mean, so those are true, you know, almost true road games, but you're doing it for NIL purposes. Now, South Dakota is, I mean, that's a neutral spot. And, you know, Baylor's, you know, brought some good, you know, sizable fan contingent there. And, you know, the games that we've played there, we won, and it's been a great atmosphere, great NIL games. So I think, you know, you want to do that every chance you get. But, you know, that's the frustration is, you know, we need like a endowment, you know, something where, you know, a coach like Scott Drew can say, hey, I know exactly what I have, and it's going to be one of the top budgets in college basketball. And, you know, I think he's earned that. So I'm pretty sure he's probably trying, you know, to position for that type of situation. That's the only reason I think he would put his name in the hat for any jobs. I can't see him leaving as long as he gets that, as long as he can compete with NIL. And, you know, the arena is unbelievable. Have you been to Foster yet?
I have not.
Okay, we got to get you there. Yeah. That's, you're going to come with me next year. We got to make sure that happens.
I got invited by my boy Gringo. Yeah. Shout out to James. I got invited for the Kansas game, and went to Florida for a discipleship now deal.
Yeah.
So I'd already committed to it, but then right after, this guy calls me and says, "Hey, I just want to call you. I know it's tough and family, and you got a lot going on. Just want you to know, no problem if you want to." Going to back out. I love you. And right after that, my buddy's already, Gringo's already called me, and then he called me again. And I was like, "What's going on? You okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I got tickets to Kansas." And I said, "Oh my gosh, is this thing spiritual warfare? I don't know what is."
I love it.
So but that's the thing to answer the thing about Louisville. I haven't entertained it at all because I just think, like, no way. But if that really is the case on the agent deal, which I get it, but some people say, "Hey, he's doing his job." You know, there's no better way. You know, I forget who it was that said this. The nutcase who went from Winthrop to Wichita State. But he always said, like, my best resume is building this job into my next job.
Right.
You know, and Scott Drew has done that more than any person in the history of coaching. It's at least on the college level. He's built Baylor into what it is. And there is no better, you know, pitch than to win another one or to get to another Final Four. Or whatever it is. And so if that's the case, but dude, that is just like all kinds of weird and shady and odd and laughable to me. I would genuinely be shocked.
I don't think he leaves for any college job. I think, you know, the NBA would tempt him for sure. Cause you have to put up with a lot in the college game these days. I mean, it's changed so much with the, you know, you're having to re-recruit your players all the time. It's free agency. It's, you know, the NIL budgets. It's, you know, yeah. There's just a lot more that coaches have to deal with. And it puts a major stress on work-life balance. But, you know, so I could see an NBA job, you know, tempting any college coach, including Scott Drew. But I just don't see why you would leave Baylor, you know, where he has built this into a monster. He's got everything he needs. The arena's a game changer as far as home court atmosphere. So now if he can get, I think, NIL and a more sustainable place where it's not, you're not having to, you know, try to raise money every year, then I think, you know, he would, you know, be a lifer here. But and hopefully he gets that. I think he definitely, you know, deserves that. And it's easy for me to spend other people's money, but, you know, hopefully there's some people that step up and make sure that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're a solid, you know, mid-major kid and you're watching Baylor over the last 15 years, especially the last 5 years, I don't see how you couldn't just be just, you know, salivating. And if you're a Missy, a Walter kind of kid in high school, I don't see how you're not looking at it thinking, golly, man, that could be me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. And then if you care at all about culture, it's just like a no brainer. So he's built the situation. And then with Foster, yeah, I would genuinely be shocked. And what's crazy about it too is like, yeah, we would be shocked, but probably 60-70, if not 80% of the media would be absolutely, you know, dumbfounded with something like that. And if they're dumbfounded, it would just be nuts. I don't see it.
Yeah. Man, yeah, man. No, I didn't mean to sidebar into that subject. It was just on my mind. I think we'll get Langston Love back for the NCAA tournament. I don't think he, you know, it wasn't a re-injury of his ankle, so he should be good to go in the NCAA tournament. It's just more of a precautionary deal, and there's a plan for him to get him to return to the court. And, you know, so that'll be a big boost. I mean, you would love to get him to play a couple games in the Big 12, you know, to get him back in a rhythm, but at least we got him in that Texas Tech game. You know, and maybe it's to our advantage. I mean, that game tomorrow between Houston and Iowa State is going to be an absolute war. And who knows what kind of toll that takes on those two teams.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, the physicality.
Especially Langston, already shown that he's, you know, he's just not.
Right. Yeah. Right. So yeah, hopefully, you know, you avoid another, you know, just very ultra physical game against, you know, one of those, the two top defenses in the country. I actually think Iowa State's going to win that because Juwan Roberts is banged up. Houston's got some nagging injuries. And I don't know. I just think that home crowd is going to be the difference for Iowa State. So I would bet Iowa State wins that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, that man. Oof. I'm looking forward to watching it. But, you know, one thing I thought about was if you look at Ray J's minutes throughout the year, I mean, he's averaging 34 minutes a game this year. But I think the last, especially since Langston, I don't think I've seen a game where he's been less than 38.
Yep.
And I was actually thinking about that. I remember multiple times early in the year where when we had Langston, we could run none at the point with, you know, but you just can't. I mean, not hating on Jacoby's ball handle. I know that's one of his NBA draft deal. That's like a C or whatever I've seen. You just can't run none at the point with Walter and Bridges. And I just, we're just not seeing it. And I feel like with Love, you can, or with Miro. And that's, you know, but Miro only got two minutes tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's a big discussion. Obviously Tame Lipsy's special. Like he's tremendous, you know, probably the second best point guard in the Big 12 next to Jamal Shedd. You know, he's a sophomore, and he was really good as a freshman. Rob Wright may be that guy. I mean, I he could be that good, but will Scott Drew trust that, or will he go get a point guard transfer from the portal? You know, I would say that, you know, knowing him, he's probably going to go get a transfer guard from the portal. So then you know, that would probably, you know, make it difficult to keep Miro. And who knows? Miro may be patient, but, you know, I just think that, you know, he's highly touted prospect, you know, coming out of high school, probably expected by his sophomore year at least to be playing significant minutes. And, you know, maybe he takes a big leap, you know, in the spring and summer, and this is all a moot point. But, you know, I don't think you've seen enough evidence that you would just turn the keys over to him. And I have a hard time believing that Drew's going to trust a true freshman in that regard as well.
Yeah, and it's not, it's definitely not none, and you haven't seen it from Miro. I do think that Miro could steal another 5 or 10 from none next year, and people might think I'm crazy. I haven't seen enough on-ball defense from Miro.
Right.
You've seen the zone, you've seen him match up, and I love, God bless that guy. His focus and body language and sportsmanship in warm-ups and timeouts.
Oh,
and
it's terrific. Yeah, he's off the charts.
Yeah, I just, I mean, a guy like that, if he's patient, I mean, I've said it on the deal. I've hit it home a few times about him. I just think his junior, senior, he could end up being that A.J. Walton, that Mark Vidal, that guy that ends up with as far as like his win count and just overall, you know, just being a absolute Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. Well, and I think he's probably got way bigger upside than that, but he just hasn't had the opportunity to really show
for
that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he could end up being, you know, creative with the ball, and I'm sure
he was a starting point guard for the Finnish national team, and
yeah,
you know, playing with Lauri Markkanen. You know, so I mean, he's got skill. He's got a lot of skill.
Yeah. Yeah, he. I remember the highlights, man, the way he moved the ball and saw things and stuff. There was one. And then, gosh, Dennis, man. Jeez Louise. The guy, I hated that. I tell you, I hated that the hook that they missed. The hook,
yeah,
on Britt.
Right.
I have to go back. That was.
Oh,
that
I
really
remember. Yeah, Dennis was getting frustrated with the officiating. I mean, I love Ray J's game. I love his leadership. I love, you know, I think it's clear, you know, he's a super skilled player, and I'm not, you know, like, and he's actually sneaky athletic too, but like, you know, he doesn't have the burst that you know, the elite point guards have. Even you know, Lipsy has it. Shed has it, you know, Davion Mitchell had it, and Akinjo had it. So it makes it a little tougher, but you know, when somebody on the game thread said, oh, we need to take Ray J out of the game, you take him out of the game and like the offense just totally stalls. I mean, he's absolutely essential, for Baylor this year. But you know, I do think it would have been an awesome luxury if you had like another guy, was just, you know, like a butler to a, you know, if he's the butler, then if you had a Davion to pair with him, then that would definitely make things easier for him.
Yeah. Or even a Flagler. We don't even have
right.
None's not a Flagler of Flagler's, you know, first playing year here.
Yeah.
None's
been great, but I mean, you know, the consistency hasn't been there, and the consistency really hasn't been there with Walter either. I mean, you know, Walter scored in double figures most games, but, you know, like, I mean, tonight's the worst he's played. But, you know, I think that you just expect it with freshmen. You're just going to have some really high highs and some low lows. And, you know, we just haven't.
No rebounds, no steals, no blocks,
right.
Two turnovers, 3 points.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a tough one, yeah, for him, for sure.
Yeah, Dennis, to go back on him, I cannot think of one time in watching college hoops where I've seen a guy, you know, a 38-minute, a 35-minute guy who is creative as him and his shots that he can get and the passing and that, man, Iowa State, that roll, that pick and roll was not happening tonight. I've just never seen a guy like him. And then with his so obvious, you know, that leg straightens, it straightens
right.
And it's walking it straight. It's just, it's incredible to watch. It's just unbelievable that at that level to be doing that and to be that successful and that, It's just so impressive to me.
Yeah, yeah. I know, man. I love the nickname. I think it was Rebel T was calling him Ray MCA. And he's, you know, I love that nickname. But and he really has that kind of game that, you know, I was watching some clips tonight. I don't know how I got on it, but Magic Johnson, I never knew this about him. At age 40, he bought a Swedish professional team. And he was out there playing pro ball with Swedish pros and was just dropping dimes. You know, he was pretty overweight and out of shape, but it was funny. Just kind of reminded me of, you know, the guy at the YMCA that shows up and you're like, oh man, you know, this guy's dealing. He's making everybody better.
I wish I could go buy a Swedish team and be a point guard.
Yeah, no kidding. It's going to be interesting to see who we draw. And, you know, I'm optimistic this team can make a Sweet 16. And maybe if they play, you know, two really good games and get a couple more weeks of practice, you know, a lot of great things could happen. But, you know, it kind of feels a little bit like the last 2 years. You know, I mean, or more like last year, really. You just don't know if the defense is going to, you know, be there when you need it. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I trust these coaches will have a plan and try to get this team in the best spot. But you certainly see some flaws in the losses that we've had.
Absolutely. I mean, we gotta come out. We got to show that we can come out punching and swinging and pushing and shoving. And almost, you know, we ended up having 16 fouls, but I almost want to see us being the aggressor.
Yeah.
And if anything, we've learned from being in the Big 12, it's like, let's go out the aggressor. But I tell you a couple of big positives is seeing Loner doing this. We absolutely need it. Seeing Josh, if you take his collective last four or five games, he's done some things. You're just like, what?
Maybe we should start Loner. Like, I mean, we started down 9-1 tonight, 9-1 against 10-1 down Cincinnati, started terrible against Texas. I think, Tech, you know, what are we down? Like 20-4 against Tech. Yeah. I mean, the slow starts are a problem, and maybe you need to start Loner. I mean, you know, try it. I mean, shoot. Or if you get down 4-0, put him in, you know. It's like we got to get off those slow starts we've come back from some of them, but against Tech and tonight, it was just too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just can't, man. I mean, I just seeing Loner catch the ball and see the court and square up. And then attack. It's like, and that was literally my main thing was I thought for us to have a chance was play with fire, but then attack the basket,
right?
And get them going. I mean, we very easily could have got them in some. We got them in set foul trouble, but we could have got them in some serious foul trouble earlier.
Yep.
That could have affected lineups and this and that. But, man, yeah, I really this team is like several of our teams, man. I don't think the UNC year. Because of the injury to was it Flagler?
Jonathan. Well, and Flagler was banged up. Crier also. Yeah, that team obviously had.
I didn't see that team, but this team, I would absolutely see us. You know, I don't even want to think about the team. I don't want to jinx us, but you know, we come out super cold and they're aggressive and pushing us around, and then we start forcing up too many threes, and God forbid, you know. But I could also see this team. You know, take it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a squad.
We have that ceiling. We have that ceiling for sure. Yeah. I mean, we've shown that in some of the bigger games that we're capable, but yeah, I mean, we got to do it. And, you know, we've had some, you know, a couple years here after the national championship where we've had, you know, disappointing results in the tournament, and you like to make at least a Sweet 16 because that's what the caliber where the program is. And hopefully we do that and we'll be seeded to do that. So, you know, we just need to play according to our seed. And, you know, hopefully that we get a good draw and we play well and get to the Sweet 16, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, and another Elite Eight would be super special. Yep. Just to add that to the armor. But, it, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't even – that's more of an ego and fan thing. It's silly. But yeah, absolutely Sweet 16. I'd be bummed with anything less. And then – absolutely ecstatic with anything beyond the Elite Eight.
Right. Yep. I feel the same way. Hey, Willie, thank you for doing this. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 postgame podcast. Ashley Hodge, Willie Molina, Sikkim Bears.
Come on, somebody, Sikkim Bears.
All right. Thanks, man.